I heard this quote from Alex Hormozi once, and I love this quote. He says, it doesn't take time to make decisions. It doesn't take time to make decisions. You can make decisions right now. What it takes is information. So if you're having a hard time making a decision, it's not a time-based equation. It's an information-based equation. You don't know enough. Finally, after 5 years of product failures, my 35th offer actually worked. And my next 55 products generated over $11 million in sales in just 4 years. But after seeing the flaws in my baby business, I decided to shut it all down and restart from scratch, as entrepreneurs do. Follow me and the other capitalist pig-loving entrepreneurs as I continue my journey to $100 million in sales. I'm your host, Steve J. Larson, and welcome to Season 2 of Sales Funnel Radio. What's going on? Steve Larson. Welcome back to Sales Funnel Radio. Excited for this episode. I want to tell you guys like the four books that I'm just jumping right in. Here we go. It's been a crazy day though. It's been a fun day. I just barely got done with another client onboarding. And so what we've been doing is, Marley Jackson and I have a service where people have a hard time with leads right now, right? They got a hard time with leads and controlling leads outside of a paid ad scenario. And so what we've created is it's a done for you YouTube service. Influencers fly in once a month. And we film their next month's worth of content in a day. We go edit it, rank it, put it out there. You know, we get all the titles and all that stuff. We do all that research. Then we spin off a ton of micro content with it. And then we also pair it with this outbound setting service. So on social media, constantly every day, there's a whole bunch of setting that's happening. And that combo, like they're powerful individually, but that combo, oh my gosh, it's been awesome. We have every client that we work with is winning. Every client. Every client that we're working with is getting results, which is just so freaking cool. Point of that is I just onboarded another person this morning and it was very fun. And there's patterns in what I'm noticing. People from typically the funnel land market are usually missing that are kind of the final plug-in blocks for messaging that results in leads organically. And so that's been kind of fun for me to like start noticing the patterns. And I'm like, oh, okay, here's the silos that I'm constantly seeing people are struggling with. Do they have an offer? Yeah. And 90% of the time, I don't really look at torch the offer very much. That's not usually where the biggest issue has been. Do they have a sales message? Yeah. And while that can be tweaked, it's probably the part I look at the least. Do they have hooks? No. All right. Most people from funnel land usually don't have hooks and think that a hook is the sales message. And it's not. It's the job of the hook to sell the sales message, while it's the job of the sales message to sell the offer. Right. So you like think of it in that three-step chain right there. Most people have a message, sales message that's written. Most people have an offer. People in funnel land usually put their offer and their message up, but because there's no hooks, they don't have traffic, right? It's the hooks that are the magic key piece for traffic, especially organic traffic. And that's been super fun. So anyway, I just did that. They're some of my favorite things I do. It's usually a 2-hour onboarding call and I walk through all their offers. Cause we do YouTube, but we do it. It's different. We do it from the eyes of like a direct response funnel marketer, right? Which is, it's just a little different. If it doesn't result in a lead, why in the heck are we doing it? You know what I mean? Like we grow the channels. It's like, you'll get subscribers, you get views, but who cares if you don't get leads? I'm all about leads, baby. So there's other services out there that like do the YouTube stuff, but a lot of it is just based on like how many subscribers you got. And we're like, you'll get them, but we don't really care. It's about money. How many leads are you going to get back? So what's so fun is it's been really exciting and motivating for me because every client we have is getting leads and sales. It's like, it's awesome. So it's fun. I'm having a lot of fun. So anyway, so I just got off of that. And then I've just been noticing patterns in the types of messages that people are missing. Sales message? Yeah, some upgrading for sure. Hooks? Usually people don't have that. The one most people really don't have besides hooks is like movement messaging. You know, like my Capital's Pig thing, creating the equivalent of that for their company. That's been a fun exercise we've come up with some sweet hooks. The hook we came up with today was awesome. You know when you get the warm fuzzies on like hook riding and stuff like that and funnel building, you're like, oh, this is gonna rock. You know what I mean? I got it. So I'm like, they're gonna blow up. I'm excited for that. Pump for them. So I wanted to pivot. I was chatting with some of my friends that are kind of starting in internet entrepreneurship, And several of them, they're asking the same thing. It's, where should I get started? These are the first four books that I would say actually resulted in money for me. When I go back to like what actually started making money that was sizable, it goes back to like four books. And I read them when I was in college. I got in this habit when I was in college that I would walk between classes reading. I do not recommend this. I ran into things and people. Okay. But I was so thirsty for that. Just, and I want to get back to that. It's just sometimes you get stuck running the company, right? Then you like elevate and delegate and you get out of it and you build systems of process and then you're no longer in the machine. And then it's time to upgrade the machine and the company. So then you get sucked back into the business and you upgrade the systems. And so it's kind of been a seesaw like that for me. But Marley and I are having fun kind of doing that dance. We're starting to learn how to get out of it. We're not even in the leadership team at all anymore. We literally just sit at the top. And now our job is to get the leaders whatever they need to do their role rather than us do the things in the business. It's a totally different way of running a company than I used to do it. And it rocks. It is so fun. Oh my gosh. Not even in the marketing or sales seat anymore. It's amazing. Like, it totally replaced myself. Our team is just so killer. Hire wickedly smart people. Do not be the smartest person in the room, you know? Just pay people what their smart person fee is and watch them solve problems you didn't even know were there. It's been cool because I can feel this like coaching stretch kind of coming back a little bit. And I've had more conversation lately with like, where do I start? What are the books I should get? You know, what are the things that are going to move the needle the fastest? You learn this first, Stephen, then that, then this, then that. And so what I want to give you is kind of what that book list is. And I'll try to remember the order that I read these in, but I took copious notes on these books. I mean, just drank deeply, my friend. So I want to preface it with that. It's not like I just read the book and then it was all sweet cherry pie. You know what I mean? Like I worked, you know, but these gave me the framework of knowing what to work on, which is, I think, one of the struggles when you're starting out. You're like, it's not that I won't work. It's that there's so much to do. What do I do? So what I'm going to give you guys here is a list of these books. But first, I got to walk into the post office. All right. Speaking of books, just picked up a bunch more of them. My knowledge thirst level just went back up. They tend to go in waves, you know, and I'll stay like an execution phase for a while. And then I'll swing back to a learning phase. And I think it's totally normal. Just the normal like ebb and flow like that. Okay, here they are. The first book I read that really transformed my noggin was Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which probably doesn't shock a lot of you. You guys know that I'm a Robert Kiyosaki fan. It's fun to learn more about him personally a little bit too, which is cool. But anyway, Rich Dad, Poor Dad was great. Rich Dad, Poor Dad, most people don't know, was actually originally meant to be a manual for the game Cash Flow. And then the manual took off and then became this popular thing and the game took off. All I wanted one year, this is when I was in high school, I started playing the game Cash Flow. Oh, you know what? I was in college. Never mind. But my early 20s, in fact, I think it was even 18, 19, actually, never mind. I was out of high school, though. I wanted the game Cash Flow. And I used to sit in my room. It's going to be a little bit weird, but whatever. I'm proud to be weird. I used to sit in my room and I would play the game Cash Flow, the board game, by myself. And I would just play as several roles. And if you don't know what the game is, it's been one of the most transformational games I've ever played. Basically, I would choose, it's supposed to be random, but I would choose a rich person profile, a poor person profile, and a middle class person profile, and I would see how fast I could get out of the rat race. And some seriously powerful lessons in education came from that. As I saw, like, being poor was not slower at getting out of the rat race, because usually people with more money have more expenses. And so it was really, really fun. I learned so much from that game. And I have consumed Rich Dad, Poor Dad so many times. I'm a hardcore believer in that. So that book was massive. That is what made me realize I don't work for paychecks. I work for assets. Very different. Very different mentality as well. Super huge. I mean, I'll quiz my daughters on rule number one of the rich, right? Which is that the poor and the middle class work for money and the rich have money work for them. And I'll have them quote that to me because it's still true. Right? It's just a hard, that's an epic principle right there, you know? So I'd say it was Rich Dad, Poor Dad was the first one. The next book that I read that really helped me start to see how I could pull something like Rich Dad, Poor Dad even off was the book 4-Hour Workweek. 4-Hour Workweek is probably one of the most frequently revisited books I go back to. And it's because of the steps and the phases that are in there. For anyone who has not read that book, I cannot recommend it enough. In fact, there have been certain times where I have chosen to not work with somebody until they've read that book, because it's a different style and mentality of business. The point is not to work 4 hours a week. He talks about why he named that book. It was literally just from a bunch of click-through ads tests, and people just clicked on that one the most. So he figured out how he could brand the book around the 4-hour work week so that he could sell more. But the book is about outsourcing and systems and getting a lifestyle as what you're building the business for, instead of build the business and then hopefully you have enough time for lifestyle left. All right, it's a great book. I love the book, 4-Hour Work Week. The expanded version that came out just a little bit ago is awesome because it's a lot more about internet and internet resources and such. That book, though, 4-Hour Work Week, showed me how I could build this without being chained to my business, right? Other books like The E-Myth, such a fantastic book. Traction, those are all business systems. I study a lot of business systems style books. But anyway, I guess they're not technically part of my four for this podcast, but they're still really good ones. So yeah, Rich Dad Poor Dad, 4-Hour Work Week. And I actually listened to the 4-Hour Work Week when I was doing door-to-door sales. I was recruiting for the door-to-door sales summer anyway. And so I learned what direct marketing was. This is when I was in college. I learned what direct marketing was, and I learned how to use flyers. I had not run into ClickFunnels stuff yet. And what I was doing, I don't think I had anyway. What I was doing was I learned how to write like flyers, and I would use like the apartment office printer, and I'd print off like 500 quarter sheet and half sheet flyers. And I'd walk around, and I learned that the metric and direct response is like 1 or 2 to 100, meaning you'd get 1 to 2 responses per 100 things you put out. And so I was like, sweet, I want to recruit 10 people. That means I got to put out, 1,000 of these things. Let's go. And the metric held true. I recruited a sales team for my second summer of door-to-door sales with direct mail. And I literally walked through campus, and I was that guy who flyered all the dorms and all the places saying like, hey, come grab some free pizza. Hear about a money-making opportunity for the summer. Come be a salesman. Learn one of the most valuable skill sets in the planet, and come make more money than you could working at a fast food place. And so I recruited a sales team like that. And I was listening to the 4-Hour Work Week while doing that. My mind exploded on what he was talking about. And it was like, it paired so well with what Rich Dad Poor Dad was teaching. So well. Then, because of 4-Hour Work Week and kind of the phase that I was in then, I started getting into several other influencers I was introduced to at that point. Pat Flynn, huge Pat Flynn fan. I've always wanted to get him on this podcast. I've reached out multiple times to them. I'm hoping someday I can be cool enough to get Pat Flynn on the show. I think Pat Flynn's the man. But I started doing all this. I started writing ebooks and started doing internet stuff. And that's ultimately what led me into the Russell Brunson world. And I ran into the Russell Brunson world and got the book .com Secrets. And I read a bunch of other stuff and consumed like crazy besides that. But these are like the kingpin books, that really moved the needle for me. .com Secrets was powerful because I didn't realize what I had been drawing when I was learning affiliate marketing was a funnel. I didn't know that. I really wanted to get into the internet marketing classes in college. And when I got there, I was already such a nerd, I asked to leave on day 2. And I was like, this is boring. I already know this. No offense. Not saying you can't teach me anything, but like he was starting way back at square one, the teacher was. So I got permission from the professor to leave the class for the whole semester and hold my own class. And grabbed another guy that just looked, bored out of his mind, who was also super into internet marketing by that point. It was Ben. Ben and I, we went and we held our own class, and we just literally tried to make as much money as we could every day for 3 hours for the whole semester. And then at the end, we went and presented to the rest of the professor and as well as the other students what we had been doing. And that ended up Hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off? And I remember looking confused and just asking back, like, what do you mean? He repeated the question and said, well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad. I said, wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent? I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, "We've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all." My stomach fell out of my body. Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon. That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing, the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. John has spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and manages the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. John is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're going to have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role, whether in-house or if you go higher, the new role of Chief Ads Officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho, May 15th through the 17th, and all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode. Getting to us getting Paul Mitchell, like the hair school companies, to be a quote-unquote client of ours in college, because Paul Mitchell approached the college, the Paul Mitchell schools, not Paul Mitchell himself. I'll just clarify that, all right? Some of the Paul Mitchell schools approached the college and they're like, "We need help." And they're like, "We don't know what these two kids are doing, but you should work with them." So we started running traffic to 8 Paul Mitchell schools in the middle of the internet marketing class. We could send traffic like banshees, man. We sent so much traffic to them, but I didn't know what conversions was. Like, meaning I wasn't a copywriter. And so we sent traffic, but not much was it converting. Like it was not that effective for them. So after like 2 months or whatever, and it's not to say it was a failure. It certainly wasn't at all. But, you know, we certainly weren't sending traffic for the intent of the sale. And they wanted walk-ins to their store locations. So I felt super defeated. This was tough for me, because by this point I had been pushing hard on my dream for a solid 2 years, 3 years, you know, and I was like, you know, I was in the middle of school, I was in the army, I was reading .com secrets, I was doing all kids, like I was hustling my face off, doing everything I knew how to do. I was helping small startups build funnels, but I didn't know that's really what they were called until I picked up .com secrets, which I found tons of answers in that book. At that time, I was hiring VAs overseas to build websites for me, and I couldn't get any of the traffic to convert. I was like, what is the missing piece? It was marketing. So I picked up .com secrets and I drank that thing so deep. I can't tell you. I mean, I learned the book .com secrets so well that I had heard from one of my early mentors. He said, "Steven, you know something well enough when you can teach it to somebody else." And so I have all my old notebooks from that time period as well. And it looks like I'm preparing to teach what it is that I'm learning because of this principle that I call learn for two. It's from that guy when I was in high school. He taught me this principle. He's like, learn for two, always learn for two. So I learned .com secrets as if I was going to teach it to somebody else. So I actually, and a lot of you guys may not know this, one of the very first info products ever put together, I actually just went to a professor's assistant in college. And I said, "Hey, you've shown interest in what it is that I'm doing." Because at that time, I then did have ClickFunnels, and I was building, I built a charity funnel for this, it was a 5K warrior mud run. And so it was for the army and military and RTC and stuff like that. And we had 650 people come to it. We raised a bunch of money. We sent it over to, I've done a lot with charity funnels, more than I've probably let on. Anyway, we had 3 news stations come, and it was fun. We raffled off an AR-15. It was fun. So anyway, this professor's assistant saw me doing all this, and I was like, "Hey, I'm just following this book, .com Secrets." And I said, "Would you be open to me coming and teaching what I'm learning? And I'll record it because I want to be able to go use the recording in other places." She was like, "Sure." I don't really know what I was thinking when I did this, but I was just taking action. And I invited myself to this assistant's house, and she had her husband, and she brought all of her kids and their kids' kids. There was like 40 people in this house. And I taught the book Dotcom Secrets for 3 hours, and I just turned on the audio recorder on my computer, and I recorded myself teaching Dotcom Secrets for 3 hours. And I know by the end of that, I mean, I wasn't amazing at it. I was certainly bad, you know, like some of my first time teaching some of this stuff in front of 40 people, total strangers. I only barely knew the professor's assistant. Just hilarious. They were basically begging for me to leave by the time it was done. Like I sucked, you know, like it was, anyway, you just take action. Yeah. You just get out there and you just do stuff, and people are going to throw a fit no matter what you do. So they didn't throw a fit. They were very gracious and polite. But come on, like 3 hours? I think I was supposed to be there for like 30 minutes. I just wouldn't shut up. I found my jam by that time. So I get into Dotcom Secrets and I build these funnels. And I think I was probably on my third funnel, and I was learning how to get traffic to them. And I was using influencer shoutouts. I was using, this is all before I worked at ClickFunnels, using influencer shoutouts. I was getting SLO ads. I did SLO ads quite a bit. If you don't know what that is, that's ads through email drops that you pay to get into someone else's list. So I did a lot of solo ads for a while. I also did like super cheap PPC ads. I'm not unversed in the ad world. I know I kind of throw rocks at it, but part of it is because I just prefer organic. It's not that I don't have a lens there. It's actually kind of how I got started in getting traffic. And then I was like, I'm tired of paying for traffic. I'd rather get organic. Plus it's better leads anyway. You know? So anyway, all right, final book. So I read Dotcom Secrets and I was like, there's gotta be a way to make the release of these funnels bigger. That's when I found Jeff Walker's book Launch. And it was when, that's book number four. Okay. Book number four. I mean, I was so deep in the Kool-Aid by that point. I was graduating in 6 months. Probably the book Launch and the book Ask by Ryan Levesque. So I guess I'd say it's number five books. But the combination of the book Ask by Ryan Levesque, the book Launch by Jeff Walker, used towards what you learn in Dotcom Secrets, is really what exploded funnels for me. That was what got it going. Rich Dad Poor Dad helped me with the mentality around money and assets versus liabilities. 4-Hour Work Week showed me that you could actually build a business without being the business. All right. Then I got into, like I was saying, Dotcom Secrets, which is super powerful to learn the world's best, you know, internet sales tech. It's basically a way to think about funnels also. But it was when I combined the principles of Launch and Dotcom Secrets. I'm sorry, Launch and Ask. Those two books, those helped me solve the traffic issue. Because Expert Secrets wasn't out yet. Traffic Secrets weren't out. You know what I mean? Like, there weren't a lot. No, there wasn't lots of answers in that topic. And I started taking the Ask and Launch model as a launch plan and started doing it for companies. So, I mean, as I say that, my first ClickFunnels bill personally was in 2015. I found a screenshot of it the other day. It's super cool. I was logged, and it's also in my ClickFunnels. You log in, see the first billing. It was in like June or July, something like that, 2015. And as I'm making this right now, it's about to be July 1st, 2022. 7 years ago was when I got my first ClickFunnels account. And I was already doing it for other people around that time also. And I was like, I've been helping companies launch their stuff on the internet for a long time now, long time. And I think looking over like some of the most major lessons across those five books and like the pieces of education that you need to combine with your funnel education, I mean, focus on traffic. Once you got that funnel up, I'll tell you when a one funnel away is not your one funnel away funnel is when you build a funnel and then you do a launch and then you're like, well, I didn't make $1 million. That's not going to be your one funnel away funnel. The one funnel away funnel is the one where you know how to do a launch, loud launch, unapologetic launch, create a tidal wave across the marketplace. Make people make a decision about whether or not they like you. I'm talking that kind of a launch. Most people do like a kiddie pool splash type of launch. You need a tidal wave. You need a tidal wave across the, if we call it red ocean, blue ocean, and we're thinking of oceans, you need a tidal wave. All right, that's how you launch. So it's the people who do a launch and then immediately turn on a content machine, because the content machine is what supports and upholds the ads machine if you choose to do it. But even if you don't choose to do it, it's fine. There's ways to get... I don't do a lot with ads. I prefer to just do inbound and outbound marketing, inbound and outbound sales. And then if we do ads, it's just like gravy on top, you know? Anyway, hey guys, I hope this has been helpful. If you haven't read those books, those are some of my favorite ones that got the funnel space working hard. There's a lot of other funnels though that have been really, really powerful for me. Sorry, other books that have been really powerful for me. After You Evergreen, that start talking more about business systems and structure and like how to build a real company. You know what I'm saying? That's a different type of problem than how to build a funnel. It's a totally different problem. And there's other books there, but these are the ones, those are the ones that really got me cash flow positive. I'd say, those five right there. That gave me enough of a framework to be like, okay, I get it. I understand it. I got the lens. You find that, you know, if you're really having a hard time making decisions in your business, it rarely, I heard this quote from Alex Ramosi once, and I love this quote. He says, it doesn't take time to make decisions. It doesn't take time to make decisions. You can make decisions right now. What it takes is information. So if you're having a hard time making a decision, it's not a time-based equation. It's an information-based equation. You don't know enough. So if you really are having a hard time making fast decisions in the business, it's rarely, if ever, going to be solved by just taking more time to make the decision. I say that, and when we're talking to, you know, prospective clients as well, like, well, we'll think about it. We just need some time to make the decision. I know immediately they don't know enough, or they're not clear on something that we're doing. It's not a time-based thing. And so I say the same thing for execution and making money in the funnel game or in any kind of internet entrepreneurship. It's totally based on, you know, do you have the core frameworks just in your head? Could you teach them to someone else? Do you know them well enough? You know, the core concepts when combined together of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, you know, and 4-Hour Work Week, .com Secrets, Launch, Ask, you know, those books, they'll give you the structure of how to think, act, and behave that that does activities that results in revenue, right? And that's really what you... The one metric that I track consistently over time, there's a bunch that we track, but the one that always controls the thickness of my wallet is pitch volume, right? Not build 17 more funnels, you know, which is a trap I was in for a little while there. So anyway, hopefully those books were helpful. If you guys like this show, please go ahead and subscribe. I would really, really appreciate that. We're also diving into and showing people, you know, for those of you guys who've been in the game for a while and you have like this shelf of dusty products, that is literally why I'm doing an NFT. I'm just combining all of them, combining the coolest of the coolest products that I've got that are just kind of my legacy ones. There's really like 3 or 4. And I'm just bundling them together. And I'm like, hey, if you'd go buy these individually, a la carte right now, live, you could still go buy them, be for a total of like $4,000, or go buy all the bundle it together as an NFT for $500. And that's kind of how I'm like, quote unquote, like taking care of my old business. And so we're excited about that. We're going to be doing a free challenge called Buy Your First NFT to just kind of slow speed walk through how NFT fits into existing companies. So, you know, because I don't think they're weird pictures of pixelated junk. I'm not saying that that's wrong. That's not why I'm interested in them. I don't want to go buy that, you know, but I'd rather use NFT in the existing business structure I've got. So anyway, if you're interested, go to buyyourfirstnft.com. And then we also have the capitalism swag back up, which has been so fun to see. A lot of you guys are getting that shirt. This capitalist pig swag is fun, man. I so enjoy making people ticked off. So I like pissing off socialists. Love it. Tickles me. So anyway, capitalismswag.com. We've got shirts and hoodies, and we're adding like cups and like all kinds of stuff with the logo on it. And then beyond that as well, just the manifesto and everything that it stands for. So, all right, guys, we'll see you later. Thanks for listening and see you in the next episode. Bye.
You guys know the Get Rich Give Back is the slogan of the capitalist pig. Because money doesn't change us, it also amplifies us, right? It's a magnifier of who you really are at your core, which makes it a really good teacher. So, considering everything going on, there's nothing like passively offending whiny, small-brained socialists, and it's very easy to do. Number one, go get your capitalist pig shirt at capitalismswag.com. Number two, put it on. And then number three, watch the face melt off of anyone with what I call tiny brain syndrome and those who hate healthy economies. If you can't tell, I am vehemently against socialism, and it's because the capitalist pig message is a call to remember to use your own willpower to carve your own path, right? It's the ultimate ownership and self-fulfillment. We have a capitalist pig shirts, hats, sweaters, stickers, more. We got tons of stuff in there now. There's never been a time like this in human history where the sickness of entitlement is spreading. I believe in work. I want the grit, right? There's a serious need for all of us to open our mouths and start talking about this more and say that we choose to have choice. We choose the struggle towards the goal, right? Rather than to be coddled and sedated into socialism. Yes, I'm very passionate about this. If this is resonating with you and you believe the same, go get your capitalism swag at capitalismswag.com. I honestly believe that God would rather me be rich than poor, right? I can do more with more money. Money's not evil. It's quite literally cotton. Capitalism fosters personal power and growth. And so I say yes to the grit of all of it. If this is resonating with you, please stand with us, open your mouth more, and go get your swag at capitalismswag.com.